This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wominjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, yes, welcome. You're on Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
And Nat Mack.
And Gracie.
Gracie's got a microphone back this week.
Yay!
So cool. Stay tuned, guys. We've got a deadly show lined up for you. But before we do, we must acknowledge country in which we stand on. This is the Kulin Nations. I feel always privileged to be a part of this place in regards to me coming from another country and being here as, you know, as a visitor and knowing that I'm here and on, you know, on good terms with countrymen as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel very blessed to be living and working on the Kulin Nation in this country, so I'm so excited to be here again tonight.
It's going to be a good show. For those who don't know, we've got a very, very, very special guest who's actually made... He doesn't usually make time for people in regards to interviews because he's so busy, and he's actually in the studio tonight live with us, and that's Uncle Bart Willoughby. So he'll be having a chat with us and talking about his work and what he's currently working on, and he'll also even play a bit of live music for us.
Yay.
Which is awesome.
Will, and we do have some of his songs as well to play.
Yes, we'll be chatting also with Nadine McDonald, who's an actor, facilitator and all-around genius when it comes to performance and writing, and we'll be chatting with her. She'll be phoning in on us.
A massive show tonight.
From 8:30, yeah.
Yeah, so. Another deadly woman from Queensland there.
She is deadly. Yes. Yes, she is indeed. So stay tuned, guys. A great show coming up. And a special mention and hello to our brother, Matty Coleman. We're thinking about you, bro.
Yeah, big shout out to Matty.
This song's for you.
Lurky species introduced, chopped down natives, reproducing, used to be. Talofa Lover. This is Natano from Chasing Smoke, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Yes, you are indeed on Urban Dreaming, and this is Sarami on the mic.
And Nat Mack.
And Gracie over here as well.
Yes, and we're about to introduce an amazing pioneering artist of all time. This is Uncle Bart Willoughby, first who came to prominence in the late 70s with the band No Fixed Address, born in Coonabah Mission in Ceduna, South Australia. A Pitjantjatjara man from the Kokatha tribe on his father's side and mourning through his mother's side. Known for singing from behind his kit in No Fixed Address, they were the first Indigenous band to tour internationally, signed a record deal, appearing on the groundbreaking docu-drama Wrong Side of the Road in 1981. Yes, for a time he joined his cousins Bunalari in Coloured Stone until forming mixed relations in the 90s. And in 1993, Willoughby, yes, that's Uncle Bart Willoughby, received the inaugural ARIA Lifetime Achievement Award for his contribution to Indigenous music.
That's right. So Uncle Bart Willoughby has continued to travel internationally and nationally, promoting his music and culture with the Black Arm Band, performing at London's Barbican Theatre, providing music for the Malthouse Theatre's production of The Shadow King. He performs both as a solo artist and as a band leader of the Bart Willoughby Band. In 2013, he released an album, We Still Live On, recorded on the Melbourne Town Hall organ. The first Indigenous artist to do so in 2014, receiving the Australia Council Fellowship to tour the album. In 2016, Bart Willoughby, along with the original lineup of No Fixed Address, were inducted into the South Australian Music Hall of Fame in May 2016, and he recorded in the Bungle Bungles with Stephen Pigram, releasing the album Resonance in 2017.
Yeah, boy. You've done a lot of work, eh?
Lots of work.
It actually goes way, way back. Drumming for maybe Coloured Stone. And then drum for Yitindi. So my footprint and my cousin's bass player at No Fix, our footprint is in the character of the Australian music. Yeah, so we help create the character, the technique. Robert Hurst is a really great drummer, but he's no bush drummer. Yeah, you got to go out the bush to become a bush drummer. Which means that...
That makes sense.
Well, it means, how to put it, you become sort of like a water buffalo with balls, so to speak. you're not
big buffalo balls.
Yeah, you're not a honey bird, you know, flinging around with all the speed and accuracy. And
agility, yeah.
Yeah. You just become, when you're a bush drummer, you become a water buffalo with balls, so to speak. There's a lot of power in that. Mm. Even when I went to America, the Americans go, wow, you've got one, which means if you've got a, excuse the phrase, but if you've got a water buffalo with balls, so to speak, as a drummer technique. In other words, the way to describe a drummer and why he has that power, the Americans sort of jarred to that. Mm. They went, wow, you got a water buffalo. And like I said, Robert Hurst is a good drummer, but he ain't no water buffalo. He's a beautiful honey bird, which is nice and beautiful. Well, they were sort of created in the cities. You know, we used to call them university students back in the early days, because we actually came from there, but we weren't sort of like a university student, which means that they spent most of their life in the university to gather all the information.
So, Uncle, with your music, was, you know, speaking of university, because a lot of people, you know, train to become a musician.
Yeah.
Some people naturally just fall into it. What happened with you?
Well, it was Auntie Leela, her idea. She knew about the water buffalo and the beautiful hummingbird, you know. And I think what she'd done was... They had a big argument one time about what to do with Chasm. Should we let them... Should we cage them up, like the other musicians, which is... There's rules. or shall we just let them fly? And I think they came to the conclusions to let us just fly. So we're getting taught by everybody. I met Count Basie when I was 16 years old in Adelaide. We were meeting these amazing musicians. Dollar Brand, who was an amazing musician, he was a multi-instrumentist, who triggered off my thing for multi-instrumentists. You know, play a lot of different instruments, even change the rules as you live your life, because you change yourself to do that, which means do things which has never been done before. But I was doing that when I was young, when I used to muck around playing drums and didge at the same time. You'd go somewhere physically. And the reason why I didn't bring it into the Great Wide Open was I just thought there was a big battle going on between the head, which meant that when you played the didge and the drums, they'd both clash in the middle of your brain, and you couldn't tell which is which till you actually closed your eyes and felt your way. But even that was couldn't be done, because it's just the sounds are just too big on the outside. So you got this dead boom boom, and you got this drum and bang, and they all meeting in the middle, which is your brain, and it just goes berserk. So you can't really, unless you feel your way through. Yeah, you could, but to me, it's just too loud up there.
Mm.
You know? it's too difficult to play drums. You can do it through just bongo and go somewhere, which I've done millions of times. That's where you begin. But to actually go on the big drums and lash it out with the didge.
So are you still playing the drum kit? You still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm about nearly 60.
Can't you see he's tapping his feet right now?
That's it.
As he's talking?
Tap, tap, tap.
Yeah, it's
in your blood.
It's in there. So before I, touched all the instruments, I was getting taught how to play percussion, didge, all the traditional stuff. Yeah. And even the tanga. It's sort of...
Do it again? Give me that noise.
You can even go higher.
I can do that.
But then you can get the rhythm going.
I can't.
But then you can get a rhythm going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then get that going there like that, and then put in the big sound, boom, boom, and all that sort of thing. Even hit high notes with the click. You know, you can.
Oh.
You can get that high. Say. So once you do it all, mix it all together, boom. You can get, and then the backwards, and then you just go somewhere. And that's without even starting to move with your hands or your feet.
I guess what you're saying is you're a natural percussionist, and you've had that sort of, and you naturally, like you said before,
yeah.
you travel beyond. It's like you become transcendent in a sense.
Mm. Yeah, 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 yeah. If they write a beautiful song, I can write a beautiful one.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And it's a bit like Australia was sort of watching me in the way when I was growing up, when I wrote Aboriginal Woman, Johnny Farmer wrote Whispering Jack, which is about a woman thing. But the thing is that they were jarring to what we were talking about, which was woman, and to be not associated, they talk about something else, but it's still the same thing. Yeah? So he's listened to what I'm doing. They're all listening because we were taught right, you know.
Mm.
And so when we were young with no fixed, you don't mean to be hard and cheeky, or not cheeky, but tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that no one was telling us anything, so we decided to stir the pond up. and we did it real well. Really well, because they're still affected by it today. And we only done 9 songs, and so to do 9 songs that affected all of the Australian establishment, then you've done your job well. So that's what we were doing when we were young. What am I doing old? I'm trying to sort the universe out.
That's a big job.
Yeah, massive job.
Well, if you can stir up the pot when you're young, you can do anything when you get old.
Speaking of stirring the pot when you're young, I was listening to one of your songs the other day. It was Motorbike Woman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tell me about that song.
How did I put it? It was an idea. It was real, but most of it was a lie.
Right? That's like a lot of music, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the first one where I tried that out. Because I knew a person, and she was a motorbike woman, and she did. She was a heart assistant, so she was pretty impressive.
Switched on woman.
Yeah, yeah, and. I think she came around one day to ask me for a ride, and I just went no. Then I thought about it, and then as she went disappointed, I sat down and thought about it, and I thought about what if I did, and so that's
where the song came from. That's deadly.
So it was my first made up song that I knew I was going to make up. In other words, tell a lie. But I like the idea of it. So it's
yeah, me too.
Is it cute little white lie? Yeah,
that's always good for a song sometimes.
Well, with a little bit of blackness in there.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Sprinkled in.
We need to make a little black lie once in a while.
This is a little black lie using little white lie techniques.
Well, speaking of. Great songwriting and songs in general. Mm-hmm. I'd love to play one of your tracks right now. Can we chuck on?
Yes, we've got Wood Skin Funk.
Excellent.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let us know quickly, just briefly, about the song.
Well, this fella made a box, an Australian dude. He lives out in Lilydale, Mark, and he's made this square box. And so what I've done is I've used that as the drums. And
ooh.
Yeah, so it's not drums, it's just a... the box, but you can take it anywhere. You can take it around a campfire.
And we're going to hear that on this track.
Yeah. In other words, I'm trying to tell everybody that it's that flexible. It might be one of the last instruments that man will be playing on the planet around the campfire.
The wooden box.
Yeah, it doesn't... Well, it's actually the first bongo was made from a square box.
There you go.
Cool.
Yeah, so the wood skin is about... Wood skin funk's about the wood skin box and how flexible it is. You can take it anywhere.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's have a listen.
Down.
Yes, hello, you're back on Urban Dreaming. This is Thrummy on the mic.
And Gracie.
And Nat Mac.
Yes, we've been chatting with Uncle Barney Willoughby. He's in the studio with us at the moment. And we're going to definitely get back to him because he's just the man.
Too deadly.
And yeah. I think, but we're also going to be chatting with Nadine McDonald. She's on the line right now with us. Hey, Nadine, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
We're really good. So good to have you. And thanks for your time, by the way.
That's okay. Great.
Excellent. So the reason why we called Nadine, because she's currently, they're doing the world premiere season of The Longest Minute, which is an amazing play that's going to take place. The opening is on Friday, this Friday. It'll be opening in Brisbane at the Cremorne Theatre. And, really looking forward to it. So for those who don't know, it's written by Robert Cronk and Nadine McDonald, who's actually on the phone with us right now. And I've got to remember to say Nadine McDonald Dowd because she is married after all.
Married now.
Yes, and directed by Bridget Boyle. And and this is her first directorial debut. Yeah.
And it's great. It's quite scary. It's actually quite scary seeing your work produced on stage. I think I've kind of only ever co-written another piece called Ben's Backyard some time ago, but it's kind of freaky when you sit there in a run and you see the actors actually bring it all to life and you go, oh, okay, it's real now.
Well, it's definitely due because I know you've been in the industry for how long now? Just over 20 years, yeah?
Too long, sorry.
Yeah.
we could have almost had about two children in between this time, I think.
I think so. So, let us know a bit more about the show and let us know when it finishes as well.
Well, it came from, North Queensland we're raised on football. It's kind of in our DNA. So rugby league, the other kind of football. it's kind of in our blood. We're born with it, we're raised. It becomes a part of who we are as North Queenslanders. And in 2015, there was a huge grand final where the two Queensland powerhouses, no one talks about the Titans, but the two Queensland powerhouses, the Broncos and the Cowboys, went to the grand final. And, so you're kind of torn. State of origin time, you're very much Queensland or New South Wales. But when it comes to the Queensland Derby, you're kind of torn. You know, Broncos are my team. I'm a Broncos fan, but our boys are my second team. and we just kind of, that capturing that 2015, like the last minute of that whole game where the Cowboys came out and kicked that field goal, and that was the end of it. It's that kind of... I remember watching it in the lounge room here just going, these buggers are going to come in at the last minute and win this game. And they did. You just never give up. You know, football is such an acronym for life. You just never give up until that final siren goes. Mm. And so we kind of... Bridget, Robert and myself are mad footballers, not fans, and we kind of thought of that whole, football and... sports and art, sports and culture, they do actually belong together. And we really wanted to see if we could make it work and bring the story of the journey of the Cowboys over its life, 20-odd years of life to that grand final point, and then parallel it with a family's journey. So, with our mob and, with all the Murrays in Queensland, football is an absolute means and way for us. And, brings us all together. My father and my mum, they loved and hate and fought and cut oranges and created pom-poms for part of football when we were growing up. And we just really wanted to see if we could make it work. And I think we have. If anyone knows the story of the Cowboys, they've been up and down in good and bad and ugly times, and it's just like any kind of life, really. And the family group that we kind of bring together, a bunch of Murrays from the Curry, from Cloncurry, it's in our DNA. It's a means and a way for sometimes our mob to achieve. And you look at icons like Jonathan Thurston and Matty Bowen and the amazing work that they do in communities. Mm. You go up to Townsville, you go up to Cairns, and, mad Cowboys fans everywhere. I love it. And we interviewed so many people and, half of them were our mob and half of them were family and friends. that, you know, the cowboys are absolutely a part of each and every person's life, and they have been for 25 years. It's incredible. I love it.
You know, what's crazy is I've never been really a big football fan, unfortunately. But it's crazy is whenever I go to a live game, I'm so into it. It's just bizarre. I can't watch it on TV, but I can watch it live. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's obviously the atmosphere.
Yeah. But
we went to Italy, went to the Colosseum, and if you stand at the Colosseum, like, they were huge sporting events that wouldn't just go for 80 minutes. Mm. They'd go for 80 days. Mm. And the theatrics is they would rise up the stage and they would fill it with water and it'd become an aquatic ground where gladiators would fight to the death. I mean, we don't go that extreme. Man, state of origin sometimes.
Almost state of origin.
I think maybe the state of origin gets there.
But it is, you know, a sport. You go in there with a clear mind and then you get crazy and then you cry and then you're angry and then there's all these emotions that kind of you go through in 80 minutes and then you think, God, why did I put myself through?
true.
And I paid $80 for this. What's going on? You know, like it's a... And we hope we've kind of done service to the wonderful plethora of cowboys, fanatics and fans that have kind of given us any time of day. And I mean, even the Cowboys Club itself has been really supportive of this whole process. So it'll be great to see it in its all of its glory, I reckon.
So I'm surprised you didn't write yourself in this play, because I thought you could have played Jess.
there's a bit of each and every one of us in the play. I see a lot of my family and friends in this play, and I can see, because, you know, what am I now? I'm 44, and I can see that football has been instrumental in my life. So there's particular stories like my father played Foley Shield, and then he played for years in the Foley Shield Challenge, which was the cup up and down the East Coast Queensland. And then he was a coach, and then he was a ref, and he used to ref when Barry Gummersall ref before he kind of got snapped up for the big league and state of origin. And so, you know, we grew up with it. And so there's particular stories, like I took Dad to the state of origin, which was at the old QE2 stadium down here in Brisbane. And it was the year that Wayne Bennett brought back Alan Langer from London to play.
Do
you remember that?
Yes.
He scored a try. And so he scored a try right in front of us because we were at the goal end.
Oh, what?
And I remember it, yeah, at the end of the game, like my father, mind you, was maybe in his late 50s, early 60s. And so at the end of the game, the whole stadium was like shaking because we won again. But
again. Just to rub it in.
We were all clutching and standing there cheering. The next minute I'm looking around going, where's this father of mine? I can't see him anywhere. I couldn't see him. And bugging me down, he'd run down the stairs, jumped over the fence. Him and about 10 other men had jumped onto the field where Alan Langer had scored, and they were ripping up the turf.
Oh, God.
And I was thinking, we were clapping at the same time going, oh, he's got to get arrested. But everyone ran onto the field. And so he took that turf home and he planted it in a pot. And I reckon he kept it alive for about like a good 6 months, I reckon.
That is a keen fan.
Absolutely. And like my mum would just go, oh, for God's sake, can you just tip that bloody thing out?
Get rid of that turf.
Every time someone comes around, do you want to come see my turf? It's just outside.
But he would. He was like, that's where Alan Langer scored. He scored there.
Right there on that spot.
He's little enough, too.
So we've got a great ensemble of actors as well. So there's actually Chinoa Demel. Is that how you pronounce it, Chinoa?
Yep.
We've got Louis or Louise? It's Louise Bremer.
Louis.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Mark Shepherd, one of our brother boys there. Leif Charlton, and we've got Jeremy Ambram and David Terry, and them who are making their debuts. Okay, that's great.
Absolutely.
Dream team.
Yeah. Really, a really great dream team, actually. And then we've got two, we call them the crazy Italians, who are our wonderful stage designers as well. So Simone and Simona. So because a lot of people in the team have kind of been introduced to.
Yeah, yeah. Simona and Simone, yes. We got Simone, yeah. Simona Constantini and Simone Tessarini.
Tessarini.
Yeah.
So Italian, see, they get the gladiator thing as well.
That's great. Well, listen, yeah, thank you so really much for your time. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but thank you once again. So just quickly let people know when it's opening and, yeah, and
where they can buy the tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the best place would be to just go online.
Just
and
go online to ticket, yep, ticketlink.com.au.
Yeah, we open in Cairns this weekend, followed by a season in Townsville, and then a couple of days in Rockhampton, and then we open in Brisbane at the end of May. So a big, big season.
Great, great. Well done, guys. That's awesome work. And, yeah, well done to you. Brilliant. Can't wait to see it.
Hopefully
you can come to Melbourne.
I'm coming up to Brisbane just to see it.
Are you really?
I really am. I'm coming up anyway, but I'm coming to see it.
Yeah, dead set. Good. Let me know when you come.
Me and Mum, Deb Bennett. I'll bring her in.
Great.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome. Done. Thanks, Nadine. Take care of yourself. We'll speak to you soon.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yes, Nadine McDonald there with their story. That's the directorial debut for The Longest Minute. So that takes place in North Queensland, and they'll be opening this Friday. So, yeah, stay tuned, guys. We've got a great track coming up with Uncle Bart Willoughby, and he's going to actually play some live music for us in the studio too. Woo-hoo. Which is awesome. Are you a big NRL fan, Unc?
I just done the World Cup with Mel Meninga about a month ago.
Oh, wow. That went real quick.
Yes, yeah, so I got to meet the gladiator. Actually, that's what I said to him. I said, wow, these guys look like gladiators.
They do. They do, them big NRL players.
Mm. They're huge.
My nephew's an NRL player too. Well, both of them are. And yeah.
Geez, yeah, so, got yeah. Me. Yeah, my father played Aussie rules. Actually, when I was young, maybe from 81 to 86, I was famous. And I remember my father, because he was traditional, he couldn't speak English, I couldn't understand him properly.
Mm-mm.
The day that he passed away, because he was in the Ceduna football team that won the 1960 or 50 grand final.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he was the last one alive. When he passed away, he was on all the newspaper all around Australia, the front page. So he bet me just before he died. I said, "Wow, that's shit."
Dad, we got legends right through the family, then, hey?
No, he was a footballer, and he was a hard worker. Made the train tracks all the way from Ceduna going down to Kalgoorlie.
Bless.
And so he was a hard worker, a horseman, cattleman. Yeah, they used to call him Killer, because anybody got the boy, would say it, kill him. And that's what I heard when I was young. So.
That's deadly.
So he's a pretty cool dude, the old fella.
But footballers everywhere.
Yeah, so it was in my blood. But actually, I ended up playing soccer.
Soccer, football, they
also, yeah, called football.
Football, yeah,
European's
called football.
But in Adelaide in the 70s, they only had one oval. They had the same thing as one oval for
one oval, and everyone with the ball plays on that oval, right?
No, one oval and 3,000 football ovals, right?
That's so true. One soccer oval.
One rugby oval, 3,000.
NRL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in Adelaide. That was in the early 70s. Even in the 60s, there was none of them there.
That's true. And you find a lot more AFL down here than you do up in some of the other states and vice versa. It's always different state to state.
Yeah, I just went to soccer because I ended up being a drummer. I ended up using my feet anyway.
There's a correlation between them.
True way, one way or the other, you use your feet. That's insane, actually. That's just really a bizarre way to look at it, but truthful.
That's right.
And we're going to play one of Uncle Bart's songs again, and this is the next track. And I found it. I know it's... Here it is.
It's called Aboriginal Woman, here on Urban Dreaming.
Hey, this is Joe Williams, former NRL player, professional boxer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Stay deadly with Urban Dreaming.
Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
And Gracie.
And Nutmeg.
And that song just then, that's actually from Uncle Bart's CD called We Still Live On, and the song was Aboriginal Woman.
Yeah.
And that was performed by Deline Briscoe.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing song.
When I get it right, I get it right, and then I move on. and I think also it also showed Melbourne mob too that yeah, your organ's pretty impressive. but in this case, this case is the Melbourne Town organ, and I don't think anybody's up. I think Spectrum recorded in there, but they didn't use the organ. And I've never played an organ.
What?
Well, I've never.
How? He does. I recorded a whole album.
Just a whole album with an organ. I'm playing.
And I've never played.
Yeah. What happened was I had a heart attack about I think 7 years ago.
Okay.
And for some strange reason, I wanted to play the organ. I've never played the organ, but I have played the piano. And so my missus set it up, and so I went along, and they allowed me in. And also they gave me 10 free lessons, which went for about 2 hours. And so I'd go along and learn how to play. I don't know how to play piano, because I knew that when I was young. And so I just had to work out how the bottom worked, and I'm a drummer anyway, so I just had to work out how to put them two things together and also sing at the same time, which I do anyway through the drums. And I can't do bass. Anyway, this is a different thing. Anyway, sing and play bass, but I can with other instruments. But once I worked out how to play the organ, I think the reason why I did it was I wanted to hang out with heavenly sound. And also, there's quite a few things I'm stepping on. I don't think anybody's really thought about using the organ for contemporary music.
No.
Well, and so I think once I did it, I showed, hey, if I can do it, you can, excuse the phrase, but bloody do it. It's your organ. And it's actually one of the most beautiful. So I broke a lot of grounds onto this. I might have got the community to go, well, if he can do it, I can do it, which is great.
That's right. That's deadly.
Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? Empowering our people and letting people know that it is possible.
Yeah, and I'm actually the first one to ever sing from the Melbourne Town organ, but also, like I said, it's just amazing sound.
Sorry, Uncle, I've got to interrupt because I really, really want to hear you play guitar right now. If we can have a live performance, that'd be awesome, because we're running out of time, unfortunately.
We are, and we definitely want to hear this song.
Yeah, please, Uncle, can you play? This is just such an honour to have you here. This is awesome.
I was going to do Don't Knock the Block, but I actually forgot. Actually, I'll do, you don't mind if I do Bob Marley one, eh?
We don't mind what you do.
You can play whatever
you
like.
Whatever you want to.
Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. won't you help to sing another freedom song? It's all I ever have. Redemption songs, songs of freedom. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall I kill our prophets? Why we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it, but we've got to fulfill the books. Won't you help to sing a song of freedom? It's all I ever have. Redemption songs, songs of freedom. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall I kill our prophets? Why we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it, but we've got to fulfill the books. Won't you help to sing songs of freedom, redemption songs, songs of freedom?
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so, so much, Uncle
Wow.
Bart.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Dad Lee.
It's just an honour to have you in the studio with us tonight. And, yeah, I can't wait to see what you've got in store next for us. It's just going to be
so
special.
Well, it's a bit like wine now. It's not milk and straws.
Mind you, we do like a bit of milkshake once in a while.
Yeah, I love a bit of a milkshake.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of milk in my tea, yeah.
True that.
Oh, milk, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so always take care of yourself. And that song's dedicated to my beautiful brother, Peter Rutherford, because he used to sing that song a lot. So I've actually sung that for dedication for my brother, Peter Rutherford.
Oh, beautiful.
Redemption song there.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and unfortunately we've got to head off too. This is our time to leave, unfortunately, but thank you again.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you for having us. We're very, very proud. There's hope in the air.
There is.
Lots of hope.
Thanks again. All the best. And look after yourselves, you mob.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.